Books of the Bible. Amos was a shepherd called to prophesy during a time of prosperity in Israel and Judah. But this prosperity was accompanied by idolatry, extravagance, and corruption. When you consider the society you live in, Amos declares that God judges societies by his standard of righteousness. He hates all corruption and injustice. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ooh. Speaking of deconstructing right in front of our very eyes, this is Wretched Radio. You're going to a Presbyterian camp.
Yeah.
Are we becoming covenantalists?
No.
Are you becoming postmillennial?
No.
Are you going to start paedo-baptizing?
No.
So what are you doing going to a Presbyterian camp?
Because they're our brothers.
Yes, they are. Let's not forget that, shall we? But they invited you?
Yeah. I like the way you say that.
Well, did they not know you're not Presbyterian?
Yeah, that was the first question out of his mouth, the pastor's mouth. He said, hey, would you have a problem coming?
Oh, that's sweet.
And I know the guy. And I said, well, do you plan on asking me to sprinkle babies? And he said, no.
I
said,
we're good.
I think we're okay.
I told you that Ligonier is producing two versions of their curriculum for kids' Bible study or for teaching in Sunday school. A Presbyterian version and a Reformed Baptist version. I got to tell you, that's just, wow. They understand this is our stream. And yet there are other streams that are not contaminated with heresy. And we can even build a curriculum to bless them. I thought that was absolutely extraordinary. So you're going to the Presbyterian camp.
I am.
And you are going to talk on what?
The autonomous self.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I'll start with on Friday night. And Saturday morning, we move to deconstructionism.
Oh, really? Well, I want to hear that.
And then by Saturday night and this Sunday morning, we're turning the corner. And our eyes are going to be on Christ from that point on.
Okay. So the autonomous self, mm-hmm. Everything is individualized. The world revolves around me.
Right.
Deconstruction, what's your angle?
Well, I mean, I'm going to start out just defining it. It comes from the autonomous self. So I have to define that first.
Oh, you're right. They are related. Good call.
Right. And so then I'll move into the deconstruction. And I just want to basically, I've got, these are 20-minute talks. So I've got a short amount of time. So I just want to explain to the parents and the kids there how much of a trend it is. And they're seeing it so much on TikTok that the parents probably don't even recognize what their kids are viewing.
It's the message. If the message isn't overt, then the philosophy is informing whatever it is that they're presenting. And that's how we all get indoctrinated. That's how you learn to love your culture, because that's the air you breathe. And the same thing is true with social media. The kids are getting worldview with pretty much every single video they see. So good on you for making the connection between autonomy and deconstruction, because deconstruction is that historic faith. There's bits I don't like. Therefore, I'm going to reshape it in my image so that it is a religion that is pleasing to me. So in other words, you know what deconstruction is? If people even claim they reconstruct, it's my Christianity.
That's exactly right.
It's not the Christianity, my Christianity, because I've defined it the way that I want to. You think of that all by yourself?
I think so.
That's pretty good. Okay, so I've got a quote here from the Lecrae fellow who has, I'm glad, I trust everything is sound and he's square on the essentials. His next album is called Reconstruction. Now, here's an example of him challenging what he warns have calcified into legalism. So here it is. In Hebrews, said Lecrae, it says, do not forsake the fellowship. Close enough. We turn that into, if you don't show up to this building every Sunday, you're in sin. That's not what the Bible says. All right, if that's something, that let's just for the moment say that, yes, that is a correct assessment. I don't believe that it is, but you're right. You have to deconstruct, and then don't do that. That's it. If people are doing something in Christendom that you believe is a wrong application of Scripture, okay, say, I'm not going to do it that way. And hey, brother, have you ever considered this? That's what it means to be in fellowship with one another. We work through those things and we put up with a lot of stuff where we disagree. I just heard somebody, it was Stephen Nichols at the Cornerstone Conference in Daytona Beach last weekend. He was talking about the relationship between MacArthur and Sproul, and he probably saw it pretty regularly. It was actually quite dear. He said they actually were deep friends, Sproul and MacArthur. And when I say Sproul and MacArthur, I mean Dr. Sproul and Dr. MacArthur. He said they spent a lot of time together. They talked regularly. They would golf together. And he just kind of tossed this in, and they disagreed on a lot. And I thought, a lot? What do they disagree on? Maybe an understanding of the application of Hebrews, this particular verse telling them to not forsake the assembling of the saints. But that's not a deconstruction deal. That isn't I need to tear down the faith or I need to disfellowship with you. It means I'm going to put up with you even though I don't think you got this right. And it means I'm going to just change my understanding of this text. Using something like this to say that I've got an axe to grind against Christendom, and in what they would call institutionalized religion, which needs to be defined. But basically, this issue that he brings up here about not forsaking the assembling of the saints, we've turned that into, if you don't show up at this building every Sunday, you're in sin. Okay, that's partially right and yet wrong, his understanding. The warning is to not forsake the assembling of the saints. Does that mean you can never miss church or you're, quote, in sin? Does that mean you can never attend church in another building with other believers because, I don't know, you're on vacation or because your business insisted that you had to go do this? So on this particular Sunday, you found another church that you attended. Does that then mean that you're sinning if you don't go to your church building? Well, that's, of course, ridiculous. And sometimes circumstances, I think I once heard Paul Washer say that there in the day of, in fact, there's still some places like this on our globe, that if there is a snowstorm, people can't get to church, sometimes for weeks, sometimes for months. Now, they aren't forsaking the assembling of the saints because the forsaking is, I don't want to be with them. I don't want to go spend time with them this Sunday. Furthermore, the rest of the Bible colors out our regular assembling. What is the regular pattern for assembling as saints? It is weekly. It's on the Lord's Day. It's on Resurrection Sunday. It happens to follow the Sabbath pattern, although it's not the Sabbath. And we see weekly. Why? Because it's based on the creation week. And so if somebody says to you, if you ever miss a church service for any reason in this building, you are a heretic, which I doubt anybody's ever said. I don't know why he has an axe to grind with the encouragement, don't forsake the assembling of the saints. Can it become legalism? Well, legalism automatically means that you're adding to salvation. And just, I think a lot of times people confuse legalism. And they'll use the Pharisee card in order to claim that you're being legalistic simply because you're saying, the Bible says this. The Bible says, don't forsake the meeting. And that's not legalism. That's just quoting the Bible is what that is. And if I could add this, if you happen to be an individual who struggles to go to church on Sunday for whatever reason, maybe this will help you. Stop going to see what you're going to experience this week. Don't go to church wondering, I wonder if I'm going to like the music. I wonder if the pastor is going to have a good sermon. We'll talk about this one day when I finally bring in Mike Fabares' book. He spent some time on being an active church participant in his preaching book, Church Preaching That Changes Lives. He dedicated some time to encouraging us, hey, if you're coming to church, you're a participant. It's not the guys up there. It's everybody that's in the building. And you should come with great expectations. You should come wondering, I wonder what God is going to teach me this Sunday. I need to be listening for it, which means I need to be an engaged listener, which means I need to not let my mind wander. It means that I need to be disciplined. Why? Because God has me in this place to learn about Him and be changed by Him. I wonder what I'll be able to do this week to serve others. I wonder what opportunity I'll have to take out the trash, to pick up a banana peel, to make the coffee, to serve others. Hey, I wonder how I could do that all the time. In other words, don't go to church as a consumer. Yes, we consume. There's no doubt about that. But we're also one anothering one another. It also means that we are going to participate in the life of the church. And that it just gives it a different feeling. I'm telling you, I know it from experience. It just gives it a different... Because I, when first got saved, I was just always excited to go to church anyway. I always liked church even when I wasn't saved. But it was like, I would kind of base the experience on what I thought about this or that. And I started going to church because it's a privilege to not forsake the assembling, to do the one another's, and to participate in God's ordained institution for spiritual growth. That's a game changer. This is Wretched Radio.
Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. It's probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this. It's all free. Completely free. No subscription, no hidden fees, just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at fortisplus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at fortisplus.org. Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who He is and what He has done. Jesus is called the Apostle of our confession. An apostle is one who is sent. Jesus is the one sent from the Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver the gospel in which all Christians confess their belief. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Another celebrity deconstructioner. This is Wretched Radio. Have you heard the news? Jen Hatmaker, very popular author, very influential, particularly with women, giving an interview to the New York Times. We're going to have a YouTube video on this because I think Jen actually helps us. She is cliche ridden. Everything she says about her deconstruction, it's like, oh, I've heard that line. And she compiles them and uses them to just, here's the problem with the church. This particular headline from Christian Post. Jen Hatmaker reveals she left the church, might never return. I need a break from the machine. So much to unpack. We'll do that in the YouTube video. But might I encourage you, if you're feeling like Jen Hatmaker, you'd see Big Eva and you're like, I don't dig a lot of this stuff. You know, the Nashville, the worship music, it's become a business. I don't even like, you know, the surveys and it should just be about Jesus. And it just feels like it's a corporate thing. Don't leave it. Stay and fix it. That's what we're called to do. And that changes everything. And in this sense, we need to be like Islam. We need to have a 3,000-year plan. And if it doesn't get accomplished while we're alive, at least we contributed to that, to making the church healthier. And it'll change the way you get up on Sunday morning. You get to go and help the church be healthier. And even if it is merely your presence that week, I'm telling you, presence is a big thing. Just showing up. You encourage others. I don't think we remember this very often. And that is why I think we're encouraged to encourage one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. What? We're supposed to walk? Hey, Jimmy.
Yes?
A mighty fortress is. I'm just encouraging you here.
Thank you.
I'd probably encourage you more if I never sang again. The point is, you don't sing to live. No, when you're in worship and you're singing, and you're seeing others and you're hearing others, you get encouraged. You get fed because there are others there who love the Lord just like you do, who are willing to lay down their life for the sake of Him who laid down His life for us. Your presence speaks to people. Here's another encouragement for you. If your life is stuck right now, this is, try me on this. Just test me on this. And you can conclude, that didn't really work. Commit to going to Bible study until the end of the year, until Christmas break. Just commit to going to Bible study, which means you will have to get up at least an hour earlier and show up and just do it. You see if your life doesn't change. I believe it will. Why? Because you've taken a really big step in the direction of participant, moving from the realm of consumer. You're becoming one who's like, I want more in church. I want more. I want to learn more. I want to be with Christians more. I want to participate more. I want to help others more. I want to serve people more. And it will change you. Church orders us. It aligns us with God's reality. We get so ripped by the world. Zing over here. Oh, important thing over there. The phone's ringing over here. The kids are doing that over there. And I need to make money here. And when are we going to go on vacation there? And suddenly you just get out of whack. And church puts you back in whack. That's right. Church puts you back in whack. It kind of worked for Whitney Houston. I don't know why it can't exactly work for me. Back to celebrity. Let's do another singer. There's my segue. Yeah. Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah. Well,
she's getting married.
Yeah.
I expected more enthusiasm out of you. I'll be honest with you.
You want that? We better go get Rebecca down the hall.
This is from MSN. So helpful. Part of this is she's sort of like a blind knife that finds a squirrel in the shed twice a day. Taylor Swift's about to find out what a lot of married women already know. And she gets some of this right and so much of it wrong. From the article, my husband is also an avoidant Midwesterner while I'm an assertive New Yorker. So the author of this article is talking about herself. When I got married, I soon learned that the avoidant personalities are all too happy to sweep any and all problems under the rug in the hopes that everyone forgets in the name of peace and harmony. As we both learned the hard way, the tactic doesn't work on someone who's not afraid of conflict. In other words, her. Our personalities were laid bare and there was nowhere to hide. That part is true. Forget her personality differences with her husband aside. That is true. You are laid bare. That's what marriage is. It reveals you. And let me tell you something. You're going to see more warts than you would see in the Oz movie. Oh, that would have been Wicked. You'll see more warts than you'll see in Wicked is what I should have been able to say. You are going to discover, whoa, my heart has got a lot of darkness in there. And your personality is going to have to start to like kind of expand and stretch a little bit. You like to do the dishes this way. She likes to do the dishes that way. Okay. Who's going to give on this deal? The answer is you are. And the answer is she is. And while you're both doing that together, you're becoming more Christ-like because you're living a sacrificial life. So she's got that part, right? Let's continue. There's a lot of life to live after the dress fittings and sappy vows. That's unfortunate. And much of it is rife with some level of conflict and negotiation. Yes, don't see that, though, as what does she say? That a lot of life after the dress fittings is rife with rife? Okay, it's rife with sin, which means you have an opportunity to grow closer with one another and to grow individually. Because no matter who you are, that's what happens when two people blend their lives. It's inevitable. She's exactly right. Now, she goes to therapy to try to figure out how to make this work so that she can, you know, keep going down the rapids. It doesn't have to be that way. When you understand what marriage is, it's designed to do this very thing. It is a school of character. From the article, I do not wish to rain on Swift's parade, but I do wish someone would have been brave enough to sit me down for some real talk on what married women know firsthand. There's nothing magical about marriage. Nothing, not one thing, even for the happiest couples. Okay, that ain't totally true. That, and it's so negative. I think a lot of young Christian couples that get married are, I don't think they can be anything but somewhat naive about having two sinners live under the same roof. You don't know what that is until it happens. So there is a naivete that does exist. But I don't think we should frame it this way, that it's just going to be this, there's nothing magic, there's nothing good. There's so much good about marriage. There's so much that is good. I don't know how to articulate the feeling that I had when I watched my wife while pregnant, while on the delivery table, having to roll to her side so that they could shove a needle into her spine to give her an epidural. I don't know what to tell you that feeling is, but it's something akin to, that's me. That's a part of my flesh that's there. And that you're doing that together in order to produce a baby together. And mom's doing most of the work, by the way. Jimmy, can you come up? You've had kids. Wow, look at this. This is so. That's why I think men get that dopey smile, and I mean dopey in a good way. It's so fun watching a guy who gets engaged. Hey, dude, I heard some good news. Yeah, I'm engaged. Got that big cheesy grin on his face, and then when they announce they're pregnant, oh, it's this look like. That's what marriage provides. You can't get that anywhere else. And so this negative, well, let's see how long Taylor Swift makes it because I discovered this thing is a great big nightmare. According to celebrity psychotherapist Esther Perel, she writes, when we marry, we're signing up for a lifetime of contradiction. No, you're signing up for a lifetime of becoming one. and working through those issues. Quote, we're all placing all of our hopes, expectations, and dreams onto a single person. Nope, those are placed on Christ. And for Perel, our litany of expectations is a grand setup for failure. Now, that's a tragedy. And she's reinforcing the cultural narrative that says marriage is a nightmare. Is marriage hard sometimes? Well, of course. Go ahead, name something that people go, oh, that's cool. That wasn't hard. How's about piano playing? Well, we were just out at the Cornerstone Conference. The dude who was playing piano was like, chops, man, you can bust a move on the piano. I'm not sure that that phraseology was correct. Yeah, and he didn't have to struggle at all. It just happened. And he took hours, years to practice, and the payoff is magnificent. Ditto with marriage. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.